Yeah, we're just excited for this year. We're excited to see what God will do. I'm going to mess this out of my heart. I want to put on the slide. One of those slides that could react, that could draw the wrong response. You think of the prosperity gospel, you think go into some weird doctrines here. But don't worry, I'm not going to go into prosperity gospel tonight. But I've got a message from my heart. I really feel it's for us this year. And it's a word for us and for this year. And I believe we're going to get this right. We're going to see God doing great things in our midst this year. What I want to do first, before we start, I just want to take off my jacket, because it's a bit hot. I'm sure you guys saw me a little bit on, so just remember what I look like a bit on. This is the first time I took my jacket off in the preaching, so maybe this year we'll do more. So my message tonight is about family, his family's favor, and this family to me is just such an amazing thing. I grew up in quite a broken family, come from quite a broken background. So for me, family has got such different meaning, because God has really had to come and show me what family means. He's still showing me, still revealing it to me, but my own family is just such a treasure to me. Just watching Brendan and Rebecca and Christopher doing fun things. I could literally sit the whole day and just watch what they get up to. Just the creativity and the words that they say and the things they do. And Brendan just imitating Rebecca and jumping in the pool with no fear and all those kind of things. It really makes for life. That's really what life is about. Just experiencing relationships, experiencing family, and knowing it deeply. But you know what? Family is not something that comes just by itself. And it's something that everybody's looking for in this world. Everybody's looking for a relationship. And it's also the thing that's like the greatest attack on it. If there's something that you will experience in life, then it will be negative. Then it will be that relationships are constantly something that's under attack. It's something that you need to be fighting for, something worth fighting for, and something that the evil one, the enemy, really wants to come and mess up. So tonight I'm going to look a bit at his family, God's family. What is God's family and what does it look like? And the quote I have there is, his family is favor. I believe if we grasp what it means to be family and what it means to be godly family, God's hand, he promises that his favor will rest upon us. So we'll go into some scripture later where he actually promises his favor on those. We'll find it. But what I want to say is, this is the start of this year. I feel this year it's going to be worth fighting for family. It's going to be worth fighting for relationships. Those are almost like that honeymoon phase where we have to fight for our relationship with God. That is going to be true for all our relationships this year. If this is going to kind of be the thing that's going to decide if you're going to be successful this year, and if you're not, in God's eyes. Are we going to fight for relationships? Okay. So I'm going to look at a question from Peter. I'm going to start off with a scripture that God has been actually speaking to me about since the beginning of December. And I've read the scripture many times, but something changed. But I saw something new in scripture. I was sharing with some of the boys this week. I just want to share it with all of us. Mark 10, verse 28 to 30. Then Peter began to speak up and he said, "We've given up everything to follow you." And Jesus said, "Yes, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life." See, it ends up with a little bit of persecution. But the context that's painted there is the disciples of Jesus Christ. It's the 12 people that Jesus walked by the seaside and sees his 12 fishermen alongside them. And he calls them to become disciples. So he calls them away from everything, from family, from some relationships, from their careers. Come there, but they know this. He says, come follow after me. Forsake all for the sake of following after me. And now Peter comes here, it's not a place of where he starts thinking about the sacrifice he's made. And he's asking Jesus, so what about this? You've made these sacrifices. How do you see this? What is our reward? And Jesus says, everything that you've forsaken, even in this world, even in this life, I will start returning them. So what will that look like? And it's, the scripture on its own is quite radical. And at the same time, it kind of leaves you with some more questions. What does it look like? What does it look like to follow after Jesus? What does it look like to gain these houses and these things? And what does this persecution look like? Because it's almost like a disclaimer that's written at the bottom of the contract. You will have a lot of things, but there will be some difficulty involved. There will be some persecution. There will be some rejection. There will be some people not liking you. There will be failure in the setup because of the situation. Okay. So, what is your story tonight? Who are you following today? So the disciples, they said they left everything, they let go of everything. Before we go on tonight, I want to ask you the question, and you can think about it in yourself, Lord, what have you left, and who are you following? What is your golden line? What are you pursuing? What is your ultimate treasure tonight, like that? You know, I was sharing the offering. This is, what are we following after? What is our treasure? Where is our heart? Okay, so let's just go on and see, what does it mean to be part of God's family? Matthew 12, 46 to 50. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want to speak to you. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And this is kind of the disclaimer of the first scripture. Jesus, the disciples say, we've left everything. And that's what it means to God. It means that we find our identity in a new place. Find our identity in following after Christ. And sometimes I've heard it many times, people would say, who are you now? And sometimes people would say, I'm a son of God. And lately I've been challenged. Some people say the right answer should be, I'm a disciple of Jesus. So I've been wondering which is now, the right one. But this scripture is saying both are the right answer. Because you cannot be a son of God without being a disciple of God. You cannot be a disciple of God without being a son of God. Because Jesus here is not just portraying a picture of it. Of who are doing the right things. He's actually speaking about identity. The apostles or Peter's asking him, we've forsaken these things. And Jesus is saying, if you've forsaken these things, you are called my brothers and my sister and my mother and father. So that's actually a question of identity. And he could be saying, but I come to church on a Sunday, I go to small group on a Wednesday, I read my Bible, I do all those things, so therefore I should be a son of God. But it's the same thing as, it's like a car, if you park it in a garage, then it doesn't mean, if you sleep in a garage, then you're not necessarily going to become a car. And it's the same thing for us as Christians. We can do all the right things. We can pretend, we can show up, we can even impress upon others that you are doing good things. But God is here and is looking at the heart. He's saying, why are you doing those things? Are you doing those things out of the act of obedience? Are you doing those things because you want to please me? Or are you doing those things to find acceptance from me? Are you doing those things to kind of create inside of yourself an ability to become accepted? Jesus says, for you to be my son, my daughter, my brother and sister, it's about obedience, it's about forsaking your life, losing your life, taking up the cross, like my pastor said earlier, that cross becomes your epitome. And follow him after Christ. Amen. And bless all of you. Okay, so Jesus is saying, that's actually what's important. It's not coming to church on a Sunday. What's important is finding my heart. It's like getting to the honeymoon phase. Saying, Lord, I want you more than anything. This year I want to follow after you more than anything. And yes, coming to church on a Sunday is important. Because if you are following after Jesus, you will be obedient to what he commands in the scripture. And in Hebrews 25, he commands that you shouldn't forsake the fellowship of the righteous. You shouldn't forsake, there's a lot of other things God also commands. But he commands those things out of a place of relationship. He commands those things as a result and as a fruit of the fact that we have a relationship with one another. Okay. So God accepts us or rejects us according as sons and daughters, according to our willingness to lay down our lives and follow after him. And if we want to go a bit more into this now, I'll go into the later stage. If you look at the beginning of scripture, even before the Gospels, even before Christ, we find that in the beginning of scripture, we find the story of Cain and Abel. Scripture speaks about Cain and Abel being different sacrifices to God as an offering. And Cain was bringing his plants and the plant offering, fruit offering, I'm not sure what it was exactly, but it wasn't the flesh offering. And Abel was bringing his little sheep before the Lord. And God says to Cain, if you do the right thing, won't you be accepted by me? So God has given them a mandate for what is accepted before him. And because Cain wasn't doing the right thing, God rejected him. And because of that, a lot of things transpired. They eventually killed his brother. And that's kind of been the story all along. It's about obedience. It's really about what is your heart and what you're doing. Okay. So are you son of God? And are you disciple of God? And follow him after him. Okay. So it must come out of a place of obedience. Just that scripture in Hebrews 10. I'm looking at family. So this is coming back to family now. So in the context of following after God, we cannot even start to define family outside of God's description, his precepts for family. What is his condition for family? The first condition is losing your life, becoming intimate with your Savior. Hebrews 10, 23-25. So what does it look like for us as a church family? First, we become disciples, and then it says, let us hold fast this confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. And this is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So part of that identity, founding and obedience, is coming together as a family. And I always say one of the dangerous things in our Christian walks is a term I would call blind spots. And this is for me such a good scripture to just deal with that thing. See, even for me as a pastor, I've been maybe walking with God for a while. I maybe think I know some stuff. But you know what? There's some areas of my life that I don't see things I do that other people will see in my life. It's like when I met my wife, I thought I was quite a sporty person. I thought I was quite physically quite strong. But she's a physio. So from the beginning, she always commented on my posture. She always said something, my posture is right. She always commented on my posture, and I got so frustrated with her. Because I thought I was kind of normally sitting upright, normally standing upright. And I thought, this woman, we can see things. She can comment on my posture. She's like, either my head is not in the right place, or my shoulders are up down, or something is not right. But see, I don't see my posture. It's impossible for me to see. Oh, you also sit upright, eh? Posture is everything. So it's the same thing. I don't see myself because I don't have a mirror in front of myself all the time. But see, to our brothers and sisters, those who walk with us, they've got a perfect image of us because they're looking from another perspective. And that's kind of how God safeguards us. He safeguards us by giving somebody else a perspective in your life. Somebody else that also loves the Lord. Somebody else that also has the word as a mirror. Reflect upon our lives. You know, without that person speaking into our lives, without people speaking into our lives, we will have blind spots. And those blind spots can lead to our destruction. They eventually could actually derail our Christian walk. And that's why God has ordained for us to walk in community. So, for identity in Christ to be intact, we need to seek our community. We need to seek our Christian community. In fact, I want to make a statement that it's impossible to grow as a Christian outside of Christian community. It's actually impossible to arrive successfully at our end goal if we don't ask God, two people come and speak into our life. Again, so that's why I put Instance and Archers, we've got small groups. Small groups is here because at church on a Sunday, we have to be in group here. You can come on a Sunday, come to church, go home, without anybody actually seeing how you live your life, without anybody actually thinking how you speak, seeing how you speak, without anybody actually observing how you live. But when you go to small group, you have to expose yourself to people. You have to expose yourself. You have to open yourself up. And sometimes people will wrap you up the wrong way. Sometimes people will say things you don't like. Sometimes the person in your small group will be the most frustrating person to you. But that's the person God has sent into your life so that you can grow. So I want us this year, as part of that family, as part of that finding identity in Christ, I want us to respond in faith and say, Lord, I want people to speak into my life. I want other people to see my blind spots, and I want you to expose me to my blind spots. Okay. His family is our blessing. Psalm 133 is on the screen. I just want to move on. I haven't got much to say tonight, but I just want to kind of just put out like a script for the year this today. I just want to kind of put down a foundation for how we're going to live this year. And I feel God just wants us to, if we're going to do this right this year, then we're going to go where God wants us to go. Then He's going to manifest Himself to us. Psalm 133 is on the screen. Many of us know this scripture. But I just feel it's important if you keep on focusing on it as a basic. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of Israel, is it as the dew of Hermon, the falling on the Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestowed His blessing, even the rain for evermore. I'm going to make a statement then, just according to the scripture. And I want to say all the good things in your life will come to relationship. I found in my life that God wants to do something good in my life. And He wants to bless me. He would use a relationship. So often I can pray for stuff. I can ask God for things. But it's most often when I engage and trust God to bring things through relationship that God will do it. For instance, those of us who find a wife, scripture says, if you find a wife, you find a good thing, you find favor from the Lord. I can just testify that principle speaks about all of our relationships. Because it's not just one relationship. Amen. I didn't get any amen from the guys here. Well, what's wrong here? I can just testify that principle speaks of relationship. And Jesus, it's calling us His bride, His church His bride. So intimacy in our relationship is reflective of our husband and wife. It's reflective of Christ and His bride and His church. So God is calling His whole church to a place of intimacy. He's calling us all to a place of growing in relationship. But that scripture says, you find a wife, find a favor from the Lord. And I can say, when I got married, before I got married, I had some favor from the Lord. But after I got married, I had some serious from the Lord. And it's not like marriage is the in-all and everything, but it speaks of intimacy. And I believe you can have that favor not just in marriage, but in our relationships. When we start to become serious about the relationships, especially in the body of Christ, then God will manifest His favor. So I'm not saying get married this year, but I'm saying we can grow in our intimacy with one another and with the Holy Spirit. Can. Speaks about unity. Marriage speaks about unity and commitment. And our commitment to one another has got a certain degree of blessing. Like Psalm 133 says, if we are serious about our unity, if we're serious about fighting for one another's hearts, then God is coming back for that perfect bride that he speaks of in the Revelations. Something that I always wonder about is the churches. When I speak about church, the objection I often get is, why do we have so many denominations? Why do we have so much segregation in the body of Christ? And people would say to me, that is the reason why I don't want to be part of the church. And for me, I've thought about it a while, and a bit, it's true, there is some problems in the body of Christ. And there are some reasons maybe for that problem. But if you see a problem, excluding yourself from the problem is not fixing the problem. And when I think about that problem, I look at Jesus Christ. He was a perfect community of the Father and Holy Spirit. And he came out of that perfect community, out of that perfect unity, and he came to earth to fix, to reconcile that which was imperfect. So the more I think about the problem with maybe denominations and differences in the church, the more I think the only way you're going to come to that is through your personal relationships. That's where it starts. Jesus modeled it. By his perfection, he came to forge a relationship with 12 disciples, and they reconciled the world. So if somebody's sitting outside of church and then lambasting the church, they're not the solution. They actually part of the problem, criticizing the church, because what are you doing about the unity in church? How are you going to change it? So for me, the solution is, let's get part of it. Let's become part of church. Let's display unity. And as we fight for the unity of the church, Jesus says he's coming back for a perfect bride. He says he's coming back for a perfect unity. So I'd rather fight for the unity, being part of the bride of Christ, because he's coming back for his church. That's his plan A, B, and C. They're sitting outside and commenting on the failures of the church. And it's a bit of a radical word, but I hope you guys can agree with me then. Let's be part of the solution. God has done no other plan. Let's show the world by our unity how the church can be in unity. Let's contend for the unity inside the church. Let's contend for unity with our brothers and sisters. And let's be the solution. Let's be part of what God wants to do. Okay. His family are blessing. Matthew 18, verse 21, they say, and then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times have I been with my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. And that's kind of lays for me the foundation of covenant relationship. If I'm in covenant with my brother and sister, obviously, I'm not going to be open for abuse. I'm not going to be open for somebody that wants to come and bring destruction in my life. But I'm going to be open to forgive somebody that's not perfect. Because God has called us as a family, people with many, many differences, people with many weaknesses, people that are sometimes even babies in Christ. They just got born again. Somebody can come into church with all everything that they got in the world, with all the habits, all the ideas, all the weaknesses, and come to church. And that's what God is saying. We should not get offended by our differences. We should not let that hold us from growing in a relationship. So that may that be a principle for you. And so you can maybe ask yourself, how is it possible? How is it even possible for you to live with certain people? Certain people are very difficult. Certain people that don't like me. Certain people that I don't like the way they do things. And for me, the answer to that is just look at Jesus. Look at his life. His 12 disciples, his closest friends, his closest brothers and sisters, which he said earlier, his brothers and sisters, those who left everything. When it came to the cross, they left him. They walked away. They ran away. They disowned him. And Jesus died on the cross. He was resurrected. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't go and disown him. He actually goes and pursues him. He pursues Peter and the 12 disciples. He goes and sits at the Sea of Galilee. He buys them a nice fish, waits for them. They've actually gone back to their old business of being fishermen. They've actually completely disowned Jesus. They've even disowned their calling. They were called to change the world. And they've even seen that God, Jesus sent them out to do miracles, and they've even witnessed miracles at their own hands. And then they, just because they didn't understand, they walked away. And Jesus cries to fish, and as they come over, he has a new talk with them. And then he says to them, okay, I don't want you to do this again. I want you now to get your act together. Become serious about the calling I have on your life. So it's quite a radical, and I'm saying tonight it's quite hectic. And saying there's actually no sin that should actually get you offended enough to walk out of church. Because Jesus experienced the worst rejection, the worst sin. And he came back, he came to pursue. It's not just, he didn't just walk out, he actually pursued. So I want you tonight to make a decision in your heart. Somebody's going to offend you this year. Fight for his heart. How's that? How's that for a good challenge this year? If somebody's going to offend you, I want you to go to that person. Obviously, if he offends you for being trying to be evil and trying to destroy you, that's different. But if somebody's going to make a mistake because of fear, because of weakness in their lives, because of just personality differences, I want to challenge you this year. If we're going to see God's glory come and do it, we have to be like Christ. We have to pursue his image. And we have to go and run after people and forgive them. Say to them, I want to be in a relationship with you. You offended me. You hurt me. But our relationship is so important to me that I'm willing to come after you and trust that God will reconcile us together. And I believe in you. I believe God has got a plan with your life. So I want you, those who don't have a heart for you, I want you to develop a heart for them. And almost forget about yourself. Care. I'll say it for a good challenge. You care. And now I want to get to the good stuff. There's some good stuff as well. Okay. There's some... There's something I call war spoil. This is quite cool. When you go after that person, when you go after that relationship, when you fight, you brother, sister, God actually, scripture, he speaks of something called war spoil. And it comes out of Abraham and Lot. Those of us who know Abraham's and Lot's story, Abraham was called by God to leave his father and mother's country, to leave and go to a new place by faith. God gives him a promise, he has to go. And he goes, but his nephew Lot actually decides to go with him. And it actually causes a lot of problems for Abraham, this nephew that he gets with him. It actually causes him to fall and get in trouble. He's herdsman later on, he gets into an argument with him. But there's a place in Genesis which is really so powerful, Genesis 14, 22, where Lot gets, the town that he stays in gets attacked by this king, this mighty king, that's conquered a few other cities already. Comes to the city, takes a lot from his family captive. And this is the narrative. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as that. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother and God and his goods, as well as the women and the children. And then it actually goes on where he appears about in front of a guy called Melchizedek, Prince of the Most High. And some scholars say that he's a representation of God, a representation of Jesus. And he gives 10% of the war spoil that he got. What happened is, Abraham, with his minority, major minority, actually went after these guys who took captive his nephew. And he actually rescued his nephew. But more than that, he actually took all the cities, the spoil of all the cities that was taken by those other kings. He actually got hold of that spoil. He got hold of more than just his nephew Lot and their possessions and their family. And he actually came back with all spoil. And for me, that speaks of covenant. Abraham understood covenant. He understood the relationship out of this essence of who God looked at. And when his brother Lot got in trouble, he didn't count the cost, what it would cost him. He laid down his life for the sake of his nephew Lot. And he pursued him. And you know, God entered in that with a minority of people. He conquered the enemy. And these guys took cities. And he came back with a loot. He came back with a horseful. So as my scripture said in the beginning of the first slide, it says, his family, his favor. I believe God wants to show us his favor this year. It's not going to come cheap. It's not going to come like the prosperity gospel. Do something that's not going to cost you personally. It's going to come, a lot of times it's going to come personally. It's going to come through courage. Sometimes the blessings in your life is going to come to the situations that you expected the least. The person that you really feel is not adding any value to your life. And you're going to fight for that person, for that relationship, for that war spoil. Then God is going to bring forth that war spoil. It's going to bring forth a blessing. And for me, we've had some testimonies of that last year. Thomas, when the enemy came and stole his car, we just decided to get it together. And we're going to get him a new car. And God came through. But I believe that didn't just bring favor on Thomas. I believe that brought favor on the whole church. I believe God really brought an increase. And so many other testimonies we've had last year. So this year I want us to keep on looking through the eyes of faith. When we see a situation where the enemy is dragging somebody apart, where the enemy is trying to do stuff in somebody's life, let's get personally involved. Let's fight for that person. And let's trust God to turn the situation into a testimony. And that's what I want you to trust for this year. As instead of looking at the situation and maybe talking about it, and sometimes we've even got this holy thing called holy gossip, where we discuss one another's problems. We say, hey, I was pitying, he's going through a tough time, he's doing this and this, and it's causing him a lot of trouble. Instead of discussing one another's problems, sometimes it's good to share another people's problems with one another, if it's for the purpose of solving it, for the purpose of helping, for the purpose of asking somebody to contend with you, your brother. But if it's just for the purpose of gossip, purpose of discussing somebody's problem, then that's not going to be good this year. So let's trust this year to turn every situation into something positive, into something that brings God glory. Okay. Some storms were raised this year. But we can speak to those storms. We can declare that those storms will turn into something that will give God some glory. Okay. And then there's two more scriptures that I want to share with God. Put them on. Luke 1, verse 32-33. He will be great and will call the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The scripture is one of those scriptures that was penned down in the book of Christ. And it speaks of the reign of Christ till he comes back. It speaks of him being king, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But it speaks of the prison of Jacob. And if those of you who know the story of Jacob was a person that was in the lineage of Abraham. He had the same promise of Abraham on his life. But there was a time when he was born where he wanted God's blessing by means of manipulation. So what he did is he manipulated his brother with his birthright. I'm not going to get into the details. He flees away from his brother because he's worried that his brother's going to kill him. But there's a certain time where Jacob, being in a foreign land, outside of God's calling, his promise, because God has sent Abraham to a specific land, which would be the inheritance of Jacob. There's a time when Jacob comes to his senses and he says, I'm going to go back. I'm going to face my brother. I'm going to face my brother Esau, which I'm an enemy with. It's going to cost me everything. It's going to cost me potentially my life. But I'm becoming serious about my calling, the calling of my life. I'm becoming serious about the calling, the promise of God upon my family. So he goes and he faces Esau. But before he does that, he wrestles with God, and God changes his name. to Israel. And what it basically means is God changed his heart for manipulation into a heart of submission to God. Saying, God, I trust you now in the future of my life. I trust you now that you are willing to work out this relationship so that things will turn for your promise. So, I believe God's reign is going to come in the world. If we get this thing right, if we contend for our brothers and sisters, if we contend for them with a jealous heart, Jesus is going to come and get himself married to us. Because Jesus is married to his church. And his intimacy will bring his favor, bring his presence, will bring his glory upon us. And why can we be the first people? Why can we be the people that God shows himself strong upon? Scripture says, God is looking, his eyes are dwelling throughout all the earth, looking for those hearts who are perfect towards him. And I believe this is a place of where we can trust our hearts to be perfected, our hearts to change, so that he can show himself strong for us. I believe it's worthwhile seeking God for the secrets of the kingdom. Because what do we want most? What I want most is God's presence. God to manifest himself. So, what do you want most? Are you willing to forsake all for him? Are you willing to get his perspective? The next slide. I was like praying on the 1st of January and Rebecca was drawing a picture. She drew this picture. There, and I was like praying, I couldn't get a word from God. He didn't draw this picture. And just a simple thing, but she drew it so perfectly and it looks like an eye. So I just felt God said to me, I'm going to get his perspective on things. This thing, 2015. I must ask for his perspective. I must ask for him to give me his eyes. Eyes to see like he does. And I want you to also go and ask God to see him, to give you his eyes. And one scripture that goes with that is, I'm just going to finish off the last two scriptures, the band can come up so long. It's actually the last one. Okay, and it speaks in 1 Corinthians 2 or 6 or 9. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of which God ordained the age for our glory, before the age for our glory. It's none of the rulers of this age knew for him. Had they knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, this is one of the scriptures that boggles me a bit. But it basically says that even in all of created order, angels, powers, and principalities, none have got perspective of who God is that we are, or have the ability to perceive God that we are. God is the only one that can open our eyes. And God reveals his secret to the end of the ages to his sons and daughters. Those who are serious to seek out his love, seek out his heart. So God is looking for faithful people, and then he's looking to do something so big, so miraculous, so much that we cannot even imagine the perceive of it. And the final thoughts I just want to leave with us. There's two accounts in scripture which is really where unity. So tonight we're really speaking about unity, about God's blessing on unity. And if we decide that we are this year, we're going to contend for unity. And God's promise is he will bless us. His blessing will rest upon us. And then you might be sitting here tonight, and there might be relationships in your life that God is protecting you about, that we have to engage in. You have to deal with it. There might be some situations that it's not a good place. There might be somebody in your life that has got some weaknesses that you cannot bear to be with that person. There might be somebody in church that you just don't like his personality, or he's maybe got some weakness that you just cannot take. God is saying tonight, how are you going to contend for that? How are you going to learn to love that person? Are you going to learn to fight for that person? Are you going to trust that God will bring intimacy in that relationship? Healthy intimacy. There's two accounts in the Bible about unity. This display that unity is something that God blesses. The one is the Tower of Babel. You look at the Old Testament, the people came together and said, we want to be God, we want to do our things. Because there's another type of unity in this world, and it's a unity of self. Doing things our way, man's way. And then they got together and their unity was so frightening to God that he actually had to change the language in which they spoke. And then there was a second type of unity. And that unity was after Jesus, like Matthias was speaking about the one that died for us, was resurrected. But there was a second type of unity. And that was unity of obedience. It happened in the upper room. 40 days after Jesus was Pentecost, Jesus said to his disciples, all of them, he said to them, go wait in Jerusalem in the upper room. And when you come together, you will receive the promise. And you know, scripture actually, the narrative speaks that not all of them went. Only certain amount of his disciples went. But you know what? When they came together in unity, God poured out the increase. He manifested himself powerfully to them. And I believe that's kind of the promise for us tonight as well. That blessing is not just tangible, it's not just an earthly thing, it's not just a relationship. But God wants to come and pour out his Holy Spirit as we come into unity. If we get things right tonight, God is going to move before us. He's going to do things that we don't have to do stuff. We want God to come and do stuff. We want God to come and manifest himself. So can I just ask everybody to stand so we finish up tonight? So I just want us to just behold what I've seen tonight. And I also want us just to go prayerfully meditate on the concept of unity. Because it's not something cheap, it's not something you're just going to get right in one day. It's actually a lifelong exercise. And I found in my Christian walk, I have to forgive every day sometimes. And sometimes I have to forgive every week. There's always going to be opportunity for something to happen in my life that chooses me to not want to engage anymore, not to want to be in a relationship anymore, to, in a sense, just to isolate myself. You might even be here tonight and you say, that is not my natural thing. I don't like to be around people. I like some stuff on my own. And you know, that might be so, but God is calling us all relationships. So even if you might think of yourself as an introvert, a person that functions better on your own, I used to be that kind of a person. I used to like just doing sport, riding my bicycle, reading books. You know, when God started speaking to me, he said to me, you need to engage. You need to make yourself available to relationships. You need to expose yourself to relationships. So that's something maybe some of you are thinking tonight. How's this possible? And I just want to encourage you by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one step at a time. Just take it one step at a time. Just engage slowly. Just put yourself in a small group. Put yourself in one relationship at a time. And it's by faith. It's not something you're going to do in your own strength. And then there might be some of us tonight that there's a relationship in your life you need to make right. And I want you to act upon it quickly. Sometimes I find myself, sometimes God meets me, and then I leave the thing, and 2 weeks later I haven't acted, and I think it's fine. So I just want you to, if there's somebody that you're struggling with, go see that person tomorrow, and make a plan, or next week, as soon as you can, and talk it through with them. Find unity, find relationship, contend for that. Yeah, and then I also just felt that, no, we just need to make a response tonight. This is a group. If you're serious about the relationship and about the unity tonight, I want you to get out of your comfort zone.